Obituary.
Elias Khoury, the Lebanese novelist and activist for the Palestinian cause, died on September 15th, aged 76.
When she reached her old house, the only one undemolished in the village, Hassan had to sit on the ground for a while. She dared not press the buzzer. When her brother did, a dark-complexioned woman opened it and welcomed them in. She spoke Arabic, but quickly said that she was not an Arab. She was Jewish and Israeli, and since 1948, the year of the Nakba, the catastrophe, when most Palestinians fled and Jewish migrants moved to the new state of Israel, the house was hers. While she made coffee for them, Hassan noticed that everything was in its old place, even the earthenware water jug. The Jewish woman said she could take it if she wanted to, but Hassan, after picking up the jug, instead handed it back to her. Both women said, "Thank you." Elias Khoury had not witnessed that scene. In the year of the Nakba, he was a baby. He gathered such stories later from the refugee camps at Sabra and Shatila outside Beirut. People were reluctant to talk, but in the end, the stories came. Of Hassan's strange encounter, of a boy whose hair had turned white when he witnessed a massacre, or of Issa, who died still fretting that she had left a pan of zucchini cooking on the stove in her abandoned house. He was unsure what to do with these accounts until he wove them in 1998 into a novel called Gate of the Sun. It became a bestseller, and he, a world-famous novelist. That was a surprise. Previously, he had seen himself as a journalist, an intellectual and a literary critic for highbrow magazines in Beirut. Besides, there was no tradition of novel writing in Lebanon. Its literary culture was mostly romantic poetry, and poets were exalted as prophets. He rejected that. A writer had to be part of his society. He loved classical Arabic as much as anyone, but his characters spoke the Arabic of the streets. Writers also had to reveal the truth. His university dissertation was on the Lebanese Civil War of 1860, which left 25,000 dead. To his astonishment, no Lebanese historian had studied this war. His father had told stories of it as though he had been there, but those were his grandfather's memories, not his. That was how a nation's obstinate prejudices grew, out of endless retelling and distortion of the memories of other people. The winners wrote history, in their view. The defeated talked of heroes and martyrs. Far too many damaging myths haunted the Middle East. Identity was another problem. The narrator of his Children of the Ghetto was a Palestinian pretending to be an Israeli mainly to impress women. It was a common thing. Palestinians were called Arabs in Israel and were mere shades in most Israeli writing. Yet he also viewed Jews and Palestinians as cousins. Both persecuted, their languages close as twins. His characters were often glimpsed in glass, as if their reflection was the other they could not recognize. He withheld their names, instant identifiers. In As Though She Were Sleeping, the heroine, Milia, lived permanently in dreams, unable to tell whether she was inside her hotel or outside in the snow, asleep or awake. Dichotomies also marked his own life. His parents were Oriental Orthodox Christian, so he went to church, but his culture was Arab-Islamic. He read the Quran, learned classical Arabic from his grandmother, and devoured with his mother the Thousand and One Nights. Christians lived mostly in East Beirut, Muslims in West. But in 1975, that balance was upset by disputes over support for Lebanon's Palestinian refugees. The result was a savage civil war that lasted 15 years. He had already joined Fatah, a militant wing of the Palestine Liberation Organization, so he went to fight. But he was wounded almost at once in the right eye, as if to remind him he should stick to his duty of truth-telling. The truth, simple this time, was that this war was an absurdity. The Thousand and One Nights had made a deep impression on him. His modus operandi in his 15 novels was to present a narrative compiled from different tales, much as Scheherazade had beguiled the Sultan with stories every night to delay her death. Around a central incident, a murder, an accusation of rape, the Nakba itself, he would arrange the stories of witnesses, all claiming to know vital details. In Yalo, the accused rapist himself wrote and rewrote his confession with each police interrogation. In White Faces, the Civil War was revisited in a patchwork of incoherent testimonies. Apart from teaching Arab literature at various American universities, he stayed in Beirut, writing and speaking out for the Palestinian cause. His take was particular. It was not the land of Palestine, but Palestinians that were sacred to him. The Nakba, he insisted, was still being lived every day. With the poet Mahmoud Darwish, he edited Palestinian Affairs, which had PLO links. But he attacked the PLO to the point where Yasser Arafat, its leader, wanted him jailed. Some Palestinians questioned whether he had any right as a Lebanese to write about Palestine at all. Children of the Ghetto was set in Lida, now Lod, a Palestinian city-turned-displacement camp-turned-Israeli city where he had never been. But instead he had traced every road and building in the Palestine Research Centre in Beirut and heard the stories. With reality as his background, the barbed wire, the stench of death, the bloated flies, he could create the imaginary. He had no haven, though, from horror. To live in Beirut was to teeter on the brink of a volcano that might become active at any moment. As a pessimist, he felt the strife in the Middle East could only go on. He had loved Beirut for its cafes, its elegance, its peerless falafel, and, on its outskirts, the old yellow houses set among olive groves. After the Civil War, the Israeli bombing of 1982 and the port explosion of 2020, it had become a shadow. It was still his home. But as early as 1993, in City Gates, he had imagined a stranger arriving there to find that it had vanished away.